Message is the better anchor. And so I want to just talk about some words that are found in verse 19 in particular. I was going to go a different route today and preach from a different passage, but I got caught up here and I thought, well, maybe this is where I want to stay this morning. And so today we walk again over that bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's how I've kind of framed Hebrews for us, that it's a bridge. It bridges an old covenant and a new covenant. And it, essentially, that bridge is the person of Jesus Christ. And he accompanies us as we move into something new, a whole new relationship, a whole new dynamic of connection to God. It's like a bridge that covers a chasm. And Jesus is that bridge. But today there's an anchor involved. Could you imagine walking and carrying a big, iron, heavy anchor? Like a ship's anchor. If you've ever been on a ship or seen a ship, the big anchors. Or maybe like the old ones that divers find when they go searching for buried treasure at the ocean floor. And they find an old, crusty, iron anchor. This brings to mind a childhood memory, maybe like I've heard recently, a core memory, something that I'm attached to at my core. And as I was growing up, my father was a minister of music, and so I grew up in church and grew up under the ministry of my dad and my mom, who accompanied him playing the piano. And there's this one particular church that I grew up in down in Southwest Georgia. And I actually served in this church, my first church out of seminary. And so it was kind of like going home. But in this church, there was a particular stained glass. And it's surrounded by stained glass, which is different than ours. Ours has its own beauty to it. And if you're able to ever be in here, either at the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun, the beauty of the sunlight coming through these windows is captivating. It's a worshipful place to be at those times of the day. But the stained glass in this sanctuary was much different. They were scenes from the Bible, stories from the Bible. And so there's one in particular that I remember from being a child of 5 or 6 years old. And I was always in that sanctuary. It was during worship services. I'd sit right there in the front row with my mom, and I was just taking it all in, like it saturated me. And I would sit and look at the glass, stained glass, and take in the scenes that were there. And it was not just worship, but it was after worship, as we lingered in the sanctuary and us little kids would run around and play and just taking it all in that sanctuary. Sometimes I would be with my dad when he was in the sanctuary during the week, maybe meeting with the pastor, and I was there again, just taking it all in. And in that sanctuary, those Bible stories inspired me. And the one that I'm remembering this morning was a woman clinging to a broad, thick, kind of short cross. And that rock cross rested upon a heap of stones that was like a knob that came up out of waters that were restless, waves like a storm. Josh, you mentioned that today as you shared from your heart. I think God wants to say something to us about that today. And there she is sitting at the foot of this broad, thick cross of stone, clinging to it as if her life depended on it, as the waves beat against her, perhaps threatening to pull her off of that rocky place and the cross that she clung to, as the waves beat against her. And for some reason in my child's mind, that stone cross that she clung to was an anchor. I don't know why I thought it was an anchor, but even now when I think about that stone cross, I thought of it as an anchor that she was clinging to. And what I realize is that it was her anchor in the midst of that storm. It was not a ship's anchor, it was a soul's anchor. And Jesus is that kind of anchor. He is the one our souls cling to. And we can be in the midst of a storm, can't we? Sometimes we create the storm, and sometimes we just kind of enter into it. It might be a difficult time for you right now. And we don't walk in carrying our struggles or our storms out in front for everybody to see. Sometimes we can't hide it, and they kind of present themselves when we're gathered. Most of the time we keep our storms kind of hidden. And so today you might find yourself in a difficult time, and you're carrying it with you, and you're just in the midst of it. Physically, you might be fighting a battle to recover your health. Some of us walk through storms that relate to our emotional health or to our mental health. Spiritually, some may be buffeted this morning with questions about our faith. Maybe questions about our relationship with God, about whether God can love us. And it's like we're in the midst of a storm. Well, Jesus is there in the storm with us. And Jesus has the capacity to calm the storm. But he also has the capacity to stand in the storm, even when the storm continues to blow. To stand in the storm when we cannot stand. Jesus is there with us, and he is an anchor for our souls. Thanks be to God. I want us to look at these two verses I mentioned from chapter 6. It's verse 18 and verse 19. If you've got it, follow along as I read. Chapter 6, verse 18. God cannot tell lies. And so his promises and vows are two things that can never be changed. We have run to God for safety. Now his promises should greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that is right in front of us. Verse 19. This hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. I love that imagery. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain and into the most holy place. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, the first truth, and I want to just pull out of these two verses today several truths or points that I want to make. The first one we hear in verse 18, and it is a truth. God cannot tell lies. That's a truth. Now, depending on the kind of storm you're surrounded by this morning, you might wonder whether that can be true. But it's important to know that what we learn about God here is true, and it is not a lie. Now, I was talking recently with someone that when I think about God's place in this world, God's activity in this world, I think about that, God's presence and God's activity, I think about it as the kingdom of light. I think about God's work and God's presence as light in the world. And when I think about God's adversary, and the Bible names God's adversary, Satan. When I think about God's adversary, I think about his place in this world as the kingdom of darkness. In other words, there's something about the activity and the presence of God's adversary in this world that just is dark. It brings darkness into the world and into people's lives. Now, if God is the author of all things light, then Satan is the author of all things dark. And a lie is dark. So, it's Satan who lies, who feeds lies, who authors them, not God. And it's Satan's lie to try to convince us that God lies. Now, I've had conversations recently that just remind me that this work of the adversary is very active in us. And we are buffeted by our adversary. But I want to speak about this truth that the writer of Hebrews just lays out for us. God cannot lie. Thank God. Let's start there this morning. And let's see that truth, that God cannot lie, as an anchor that we cling to. Because there will be times when we'll be buffeted by the storm and by the adversary to make us believe that what God has said, what God's word has said, promises, vows, truths, stories, could not be true at all, could they? I mean, look at your experience. Look at all that you've experienced. Look at the difficulty of it, the weight of it, the baggage of it. How in the world could God be true? And all those things that God has said, the adversary says, it's nothing but a lie. Isn't that the oldest work of Satan? Just to convince God's children that God lies. But that's a lie, so let's call it what it is, and let's cling to the truth that God cannot lie, and thank God for that. And so let's cling to that today. The second thing I want to point out is that God's truth leads us to hope, leads us to hope. One of the things that can be quickly lost when we are battered in the midst of storms, whether it's personal or whether it's in our community or in our world, when we're battered, it seems like one of the first things that goes is hope. Now, most of us can handle one kind of storm that might come at us. And we can pull ourselves together. We've got the resources available to us to hold ourselves together in the midst of, let's say, one storm or one wave. But it's when it goes beyond that one, and it's more than one. It's two, it's three, it's four. Sometimes it's not just a person, but it's that particular person. Someone that you knew and loved and thought they loved you that wounds you. And it just becomes a kind of tsunami, that storm. And one of the first things that's lost is a sense of hope. The belief that things can be and can get better. The belief that God is doing something and there will be something out ahead of us that is good and blessed and for us. And not harm. And not deceit. And not a trick. And not death. And not disease and sickness and famine and poverty. And all of the things that in this broken world we can face. But we cling to hope. But in the midst of storms, hope seems to fade or to disappear. We just begin to believe there's nothing and no one to hope in. I've heard people talk lately, and it's not just been lately. And it feels like the world is coming to an end. You know, where do we hope? Where do we find hope? What do we hope in? Who do we hope in? So this hope, this thing that is crucial to a follower of Jesus, it fades. Who or what do we hope in when it seems that there is nothing to hope in? We've been let down. We've been lied to sometimes. Sometimes we feel ignored. Sometimes we feel left out. Sometimes we feel demeaned. We've been damaged. Our bodies have been ravaged by sickness. All of these things kind of draw hope out of us. Our finances plummet at the same time every month, and hope just kind of diminishes. We search for love, or we search for acceptance, a place to just be, to gather with people where we can know and be known. And it seems like that's elusive. We can't find it. And hope goes. But church, it's good to be familiar with what God's words have to say to us about God's promises. Because verse 18 tells us that God's promises encourage us. That God's promises are like hope that we cling to. Like an anchor that we hold on to. That is what God gives to us. It's good to be familiar with God's words, because in God's words we find God's promises. We find the hope that God offers to us when it seems like the world we live in is sucking hope out of us. If you're discouraged today, today is a good time to search for God's word of encouragement. It's there. It's in the Bible, this thing that we hold and carry and read, or we pull up on our devices to access that way. God's words are words of hope and encouragement to us. Some of those, and I've just got three, but they mean a lot to me. And maybe they're the words, the promises, the hope that we need to hear today. Jesus says this: "My burden is light. And when you're with me, you will find rest for your souls." Not so with the world. Now, he doesn't say that in the scripture, but I'm adding this. Not so with the world. It seems as if the burdens that the world lays on us are heavy, and they suck the hope out of us. They're not light, and we do not find rest. We wrestle. We're anxious. We're agitated. We're impulsive. We lash out. We're not our best selves. But Jesus has this promise of hope. "My burden is light," he says. "Come to me and find rest for your soul." That's hope, and that's an anchor. That's not just a good Bible verse. It's an anchor, people, for us to cling to in the midst of a kind of a storm, a stormy time. "Cast all your anxiety on me, because I care for you." That's in 1 Peter. And Peter is talking about the Lord and the Lord's promise to us and to those believers in a very anxious time, a time of suffering and persecution, which most of the early church lived in that kind of a threat. "Cast all of your anxiety, all of your cares upon me," the Lord says, "because I care for you." A promise of hope for us to cling to and to do. You may be hanging on to your anxiety today. Jesus says, "Let it go. Give it to me. I'll deal with it." And you live a freer, calmer, more restful lives. Here's a third promise that means something to me. The Lord says this: "I will never leave you or forsake you." Never. Never. You think I've ignored you? You think that I've left you high and dry? That I don't care? That I don't provide? That I don't have power? That for some reason the events of the world kind of take me off of my throne? I'm not sovereign anymore. But no, all of those are lies spoken by the adversary who wants to convince us, the father of lies wants to convince us that God is a lie. But the truth is, God cannot lie. And he says this, I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank God. Just a few promises of hope that God's words give to us to be like an anchor for us to hold on to. Thanks be to God. All of God's promises, and there are thousands more in the Bible for us to find, to discover, and to cling to. Right now, God is extending to you and to me hope. Let's cling to that. And here's a final point, and it's seen in verse 19. Let's go back to that. It says this. It says, this hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. Now, go back to that picture that I painted at the beginning of my message of walking with Jesus over a bridge from the old to the new. The anchor, now, is not something that we're carrying. It's not like something that's chained to our ankle that we're dragging along for the walk. An anchor and chain, so to speak, holding us back. That's not the kind of anchor. This is not who Jesus is. He is not someone we drag along who holds us down and holds us back. That's a lie. The truth is that Jesus is our hope in this world. And so he is an anchor, the better anchor for our souls that long for hope in this world. Jesus is the better anchor. He does not hold us down. He does not hold us back. He holds out hope for us. He holds us as we cling to him. In these days, we anchor ourselves to what I believe to be false hope. People or positions that make promises to us. Promises to hold us. Promises to anchor us. Promises to provide for us, to protect us. But people are people. And they are not meant to be God. The world is the world, and it is not meant to provide an anchor for us. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. He anchors us in the midst of our storms. In the midst of this day, he does not lie. He holds out hope to us and for us. And he is not chained to us to hold us back or hold us down. I offer to you this morning the only thing that this preacher knows how to offer. I offer to you this morning Jesus, the Christ. I offer him to you as our Lord, as our leader, as our Savior, as our forgiver. I offer to us today Jesus, who is our help, who is our hope, and who is our anchor. And he is and always will be the better anchor. This day, church, this day, pastor, ask of him and you will receive from him. Seek him and you will find him. Knock on his door, and he will answer, and he will open it. Cling to him, and he will hold you firm and secure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus, we, in this moment, acknowledge as best we can our need for you to be our anchor. And we confess and would proclaim in this world, even if it were to cost us a lot, even if it was to cost us our job or our reputation or our life or our freedom, Lord, we would cling to you as our anchor. We will not confess our loyalty, Lord Jesus, to anyone else. You are our hope, and you are our better anchor. And so we cling to you this day, and we'll cling to you day by day as we go about this life, as we walk along, Lord. There may be some other things that are holding you down and holding you back, like a ball and chain. I want you to know it is not the anchor of Jesus Christ. There may be some things in your life that are holding you down, maybe clinging to you, and you need Jesus to forgive you and to free you and release you so that you can walk with him. Now is the time to receive from the Lord that freedom and that grace. So Lord, as you offer that to us today, we receive it. May it change us as you see fit according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.